I'm supposed to start now? Oh, okay. All right. Okay, well, this is the third part of the democratization of consciousness, of spirit. And for those astute scholars of my talks and workshops and the teachings I bring forward, you'll come to the realization that this must be pretty important because I've never given a three-part satsang before. Every now and then I've given a two-part one, but this is a three-part one. You see, and the nice thing with what I just did is you don't have to be a scholar to know it because you were told. Okay, and that has a lot to do with equality, all right? But let me back up and kind of give you an overall view of what was covered and why this is so very important, okay? And we know that the democratization of consciousness of spirit has to do with the shared blessing and the shared responsibility of having in our soul, put into our soul, distributed, as it were, the Christed consciousness, okay? Or that consciousness at one with God, okay? That no longer do we have the times of pharaohs, as it were, emperors, etc., as soul divine incarnates, okay? But now is the time where everyone has that responsibility, okay? And that's the key word. It's our responsibility to exercise that and to fulfill that. And that's our purpose here on this planet, you know? And so many of you walk around, well, I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't know why I was born. What should I do? Well, you know. Now you know. You're here to know yourself as spirit and to love God and to love yourself because you are spirit and to enjoy the life that God gave you. That's the whole purpose of human life. Real simple. Okay? So the democratization has to do with our responsibility. And like any good democracy, the main feature of it is that its citizenry has the right to vote, okay? And each soul has that right, okay? Now, obviously, we're not going to vote for a presidential candidate as a soul, you know, which may be a very good thing. It's kind of hard to tell the difference anyway, but we vote for where we're going to place our focus. We vote for what we are going to choose into, whether we're going to choose into karma, negativity, or whether we're going to create positively along the positive axis or reinforcing the spirit we are. And that's the vote that we're given all the time, okay? And it's very interesting, but we may not be doing something physical, as it were. We're not pulling the lever of a machine. We're not walking to the poll station, etc., to cast our vote. So we don't think it's of any consequence or any importance, okay? But let me tell you something. Every thought you have, okay, every emotion you choose to run, okay, every action you take, okay, goes with you as a soul and you're responsible for. And those are all what's called karmic creations. Okay, and we know that the teachings that I'm involved with, we don't focus on karma. We focus on knowing yourself as spirit and loving God. And we work with God's grace. And this is very important because with God's grace, and as a sign of it and a sign of his mercy, we have initiation, the initiation of the soul into what's called the sound current or the Holy Spirit. And the soul starts to wake up and know itself as spirit, okay? And in that process, okay, through the grace of God and through the student applying the teachings exactly as brought forward, we get all that stuff that our souls seem to worry about, karma, past life karma, future karma, all that stuff is handled because that's not our focus. Our focus is to come to know ourselves as God and the responsibility of this, okay? So it doesn't do any good to worship one person and go, oh, wow, he's God realized. Well, first of all, what do you mean by God realized, you know? So, you know, it was very interesting. We had an initiation recently, and there was somebody saying, well, you know, again, I just, you know, say names of Jesus Christ. Well, that's not going to do you any good because the Christ exists on all the levels. And so the frequency that that person experienced the Christ on was there for that soul, okay? But that soul was already awakened to that level. It wasn't going to lift it any further, okay? So that through initiation, we receive that great, great gift, okay? And even for souls not choosing to walk this path, this lifetime, they still have, in a sense, the grace. And the grace may be, even if it's creating no more karma by choosing into what they perceive as spirit, then that may be enough of an education for that soul for this lifetime. Okay? Although I certainly, if you've been given the gift of initiation, I lovingly suggest you wise up to what you've really been given and what you really have, okay? Because we also know that wide is the way, but narrow is the gate that leads unto eternal life. That there is the way of the Christ, that's what leads us into eternal life, okay? It is not the Christian way. It is not, you know, it is not the Catholic way. It is not anything that has to do with church stuff. But it is the way of the Christed consciousness, okay? That, once again, as was said at the beginning of this series, each of us has now, and we're all responsible. So that we're responsible now for establishing ourselves into eternal life, you see? Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, which is proof that we're equal. See? Because in the beginning, the Word, the sound current, was with God, and God created us as souls from the sound current, from the Holy Spirit, from that which He is. So we're all created equally, okay? All right. But what we have done in our inimitable style as human beings who've forgotten what human being means, we think it means that everybody has to be the same, okay? Well, my question is, how come somebody can pound the hell out of a baseball, okay? And I go to a batting range, I stick in I don't know how many quarters, you know, God knows how, I mean, it just adds up. I don't even see the ball, okay? I mean, the nice thing about going to the batting range is I get to realize I have great hearing. Because I can just hear the ball whizzing by every time. Whiz by, whiz by, whiz by. Okay, and of course, being the smart guy I am, right? I know I can't see the ball. So what am I going to do? Okay, but I'm going to watch the arm of the machine when it's up there. Okay, just before it flings the ball. And then I'll just time it. Okay, so I did that. Didn't hit one of them. And I'm talking about not even nicked it, nothing. Okay, well, true confessions here, folks. Next time I go to a batting range, it's going to be the softball range, and I probably won't even try fast pitch. It'll probably be medium pitch. Okay, so how come people can hit a baseball and they can see a baseball? I mean, granted, they say it's the toughest thing to do in all sports is to hit a baseball. But how come people can do it? and I can't? Okay? How come Edward can run a lot faster than I can? Okay? So where's this equality? You see, we've forgotten that we are spirit. We've forgotten that we are soul. And so we become very materialistic. We just focus on the world, on the earth. And then that becomes the focal point. Oh, everybody is equal. And everybody should have, you know, the same car, the same income, the same this, the same that. Why? Okay, why? Why do you want to make a liar out of the soul and make the soul irresponsible? Because you're at the effect of what you've put in motion. Okay, so let's just say I've walked around, I've spent lifetimes walking around going, gosh, if only I had money, then life would be wonderful. I'm sure there's nobody listening to this talk that ever has that thought. Okay, so I've walked around with this thought for several lifetimes. This lifetime, well, I get to be at the effect of what I put in motion. So I get to have an awful lot of money. And I get to have this great experience that, hey, that ain't it. Okay, but meanwhile, from outside of my consciousness, everybody's looking at me and go, oh gosh, that guy has so much money. I want to be just like him. Or his life is so great because he's got a lot of money. And we go round and round and round in the karma. Or we do this funny thing. You know, I mean, any of you listen to the convention, you heard this. Let's sock it to the rich people. Once that whole mentality, let's sock it to the rich people. And the rich people were defined as people living in some cities who, with that income, could, to be very honest, have a hard time getting by. You know, you probably don't want to live in Honolulu. You probably don't want to live in Boston. You probably don't want to live in New York, etc. And with that income, because it won't do you very much good. It won't go too far here. And yet you were perceived as rich. Okay, yeah, next to the people who make a dollar a day or a dollar a week or whatever it is in parts of the world. Yeah, and then we get into, well, how come they're making it and other people are making $1,000, you know, an hour? Why should Barry win a case and make X amount of money? I win a case and I'm lucky to get a case of bottled water, you know? Is that not fair? That's not equal, but yet it's very fair. That's exactly how it needs to be for each individual soul. And it's very important that we recognize that, hey, the system is fine, and this is the system. Okay, and if we could see it in the proper perspective, see, and this is a big thing with the democratization of consciousness. We need to start learning to see ourselves as human in the sense of you, the first manifestation in the inner worlds of where spirit is. That we are spirit. It's the first manifestation of the Lord God in the inner worlds. That's quite a frequency. And this is what we carry. And this is what it means to be human. And if we identify ourselves as human beings in that sense, well, then guess what? Yeah, we are at the effect of what we've put in motion. We are here to have experiences as souls, and these need to be complete. So it may not be important for me to be able to see a baseball. It may be very important for another soul that's in a body, for that body to be able to hit the hell out of a baseball and get all sorts of money and adulation for it. The karmic path is different. Okay. somebody is living subsistence existence. There's a reason for that. Okay. And do we do everything we can to help them? Yeah. But watch the attitude, because we tend to walk around with all these poor, unfortunate creatures, and which is very condescending and patronizing and doesn't help them. You know? As I was reading, I don't think the article was very unintentionally funny. I don't think they meant it to be funny, but it was an article about the Museum of Tolerance that was being established in the Middle East, you know? And they wanted to know if one of the peoples who had been uprooted from that area was going to be represented and there was really going to be something from their perspective. And the head clergy person who was in charge of getting tens and tens and tens of millions of dollars into this project said, well, when they have their own country and when they have their own land and when they have their own museum, well, then they can have it, you know? That can be their focus. Well, not a good example of tolerance. You know, but this article pointed out that, hey, tolerance really isn't a concept in this culture. Okay, that tolerance is something that we have, an ideal we have in our culture that we're imposing on this culture. And in that culture where the museum was, tolerance means, you know, you put up with having a pebble in your shoe. You tolerate it, okay? So we have to watch imposing our view on others. Watch what we're doing, thinking, well, gosh, everyone should be equal, okay? That means that, hey, everybody should have the same income, everybody should have the same job, everybody should have the same intelligence, everybody should... Well, no. That's not so. Okay? We do as a culture have to do away with institutional blocks to everyone's participation in this culture, that's for sure. Whether it's to schools, universities, whether it's to jobs, whether it's to whatever. Okay? That's really important. Okay? See, and that to me was the brilliance of Martin Luther King. You know, a lot of people dismiss him as, to me, it's a dismissal. He was a great civil rights leader. Well, I think he was more than just a black leader because he had the smarts to say, hey, whitey, you know, you're wasting your time hating. Don't waste your time hating blacks. It's a waste of your time and your energy. See, and he pointed that out. And that's crucial. See, that was a crucial breakthrough. All right? But we still walk around as, well, let's help the black folk and let's totally disregard the karma. Okay? But why don't we help people as people who happen to be black, green, whatever? Okay? Because we also know that DNA proves that this whole concept of race is just that. It's a concept. And that a black person here in America is closer to a person walking the streets of Sweden, of Stockholm, than it is a person walking the streets of Africa. Okay, so it's a concept we have. It really doesn't really exist. But we've created this concept. And we've created separation. Okay, my suggestion is, well, if we're going to treat people equally, let's treat them as people equally. Let's not play this game of race or anything else like that, helping the poor unfortunates. Let's have total regard for the human. Hey, there's spirit in each person, each soul, and there's value in that soul's experience. Okay? But for God's sakes, let's not try to make everyone have the same experience. It doesn't make sense, you know? And, you know, we're also equal in how dumb we can be. Everyone's equal with that, you know. I was speaking to, quote, a student, unquote. And He just said, oh, his life's doing great, you know, except for this one area of his life. Well, and judge the hell out of it. Well, that's equal to what a lot of people are doing, okay? But we know when we are focused in spirit and in a spiritual pattern of upliftment and spiritual fulfillment, okay, we know that God's grace operates everywhere, okay? And that whatever our karmic load is, we're here to bear, and we're here to bear it joyfully, tenderly, and know that it's for our highest good, and know that there's always grace. And just because we don't like how the situation looks doesn't mean that it's something not good. Okay? And all of us are equal in the sense of falling for that stuff. No. But the equality that I really want to focus on is, in the beginning was the word, we are created equally. Okay, and if you look at the size and shape of everybody here, even physically, it's so obvious you're all different. Okay, some of you don't even speak the same first language. Okay? But we're not talking about things on this level. We're talking about spiritually. So we're equal. We're equal in our responsibility. We're here to know and see the face of God and know ourselves as spirit. And everyone has the same job, the same spiritual destiny. We're all going to complete our karmic rounds and go home to God. We're all equal that way. And we all bear the responsibility equally of the progression. Okay? For all of humankind, okay? Because the best thing a soul can do for all of humanity is to get on and grow and fulfill its spiritual destiny. Okay? And we're all equal in the face of God. It doesn't matter how much money you have, don't have, what color your skin is, whether you're male or female, whether you've had an operation to reverse that, you know, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what your native tongue is. None of that stuff matters. This is the greatest democracy of all. Okay? We are in the final analysis, and not to use this word as people use it, but in the sense of that it's used spiritually, and that is judged. Okay? We are or held accountable. We are held accountable and judged, as it were, by just how much love we have for God and how much we have used our life as intended, which is to lift and grow. And as an initiate of the path, of a sound current path, how much we follow the practice. And this might come as a shock to some Westerners who can't tolerate the idea, because in the West especially, we really are locked into the ego. So we think that there's a separation between people. And because there's a separation between people, then what you have to do is you then use the power and control axis. Okay, so we have to somehow, so that if you are fortunate enough and blessed enough to be working with a spiritual teacher, you perceive him as above you, you're below him, and it's power and control, and you play this game. But that mirrors the game we play with God, that God's above us, we're below, and we have to keep using power and control instead of learning to be in a loving relationship. Okay? And we know that, and this is a crucial part of equality and the democratization of consciousness, we know that in the sound current path, that there's no progress, okay, without whatever you want to call that being, the teacher, the master, etc., okay? There's no progress without that, okay, without God's representative. There's no progress, okay? And yet, he stands before you as an equal, not better, not less than you, but as an equal. And he just has the soul that's within that has fulfilled itself and is awake on the levels that you are sleeping on. And so it comes into the body and extends a helping hand and demonstrates God's love and compassion. But it's as an equal. And so many of you spend time fending off that love and that grace. Okay, because you have to know that you are worthy. You know, and basics being basics, the lower part of our consciousness, we tend to confuse parents with God, because who's in our universe, who's more godlike than parents? And so we tend to think that God has the same qualities as our parent or parents and acts the same way. Okay. And one of the things that happens in the maturation of a soul is you get to stand in an equal relationship as you do psychologically with your parents or parent or key figure, but also with God. See? But that only comes after the soul starts to know itself and sees where God is and sees what God is, which is God living inside of you as God in you. And it's a living God. It's not something you read about in the Bible who spoke to the prophets and that was it, you know? I mean, I always get a kick out of religions for no other reason than the prophet who brings forward this religion, he's the last prophet of God, you know, which immediately closes the last and final in fulfillment, which immediately closes the door on any further development or anything else like that, okay? But the truth is that God is still operating. He ain't dead, you know. Those were rumors. God is not dead. Okay, he's alive and well and lives in us. Okay, and he needs us to fulfill himself. We're cells in his body. And as we wake up, his body becomes a light. See, that's the body of Christ, as it were. The body of the Christed consciousness of the oneness. And equality has very much to do with individual surrender. Individual surrender to God. You know? Not a surrender to anything outside yourself, not a surrender to belief, not a surrender to dogma, but to the living God in you. See? And some of you ask, what do I need a teacher to do that? God's inside of me. Well, I don't think God would waste his time or his energy representing himself here on this planet if human beings didn't need that. But it's because we have forgotten who we are that we need the constant reminder. And the constant focusing, and the constant, as it were, spiritual correction. Okay. It's very important, if you're a student of this path, to really immerse yourself in it, and to make contact with it as often as you can, you know? It's very important. Because that keeps the consciousness focused. That keeps it attuning. That keeps it in an upliftment agreement. It's so easy to get sidetracked by our own mind, our own emotions. Okay, but when we enter the force field of the living God, well, guess what? If we're locked out of it within us, and there is a temple of light and sound that's been established in the world, the soul makes contact with it. Ah, okay, it's reflecting back to that which is asleep in it, or which is it is outside of for a while, and it gets to go back inside itself. It gets to be refreshed. Okay. And human beings can equally forget that we are spirit. We can be equally stupid. The karma can be upon us. There is no discrimination in the giving of karma. You create karma, you're responsible. Okay? You know, and some of you are very cute about it. You love to think, oh, God's grace, you know, that means I'm not responsible for it. No, God's grace means that there's a way for you, in a sense, to lift beyond it. And you're still responsible for that karmic creation that you did. Okay, and some of you play this funny game of not being responsible because of God's grace, but you are responsible. Okay, and that's really important. Okay. But we are also responsible, you know, karma shmarma. We are responsible for loving God. And that's where our focus needs to be. And everyone, every soul has that responsibility. Everyone has that right. Everyone can vote into spirit, not into negativity, but into spirit. Okay? And lastly, okay, just want to say that the whole planetary system, the whole reason for our being here, has everything to do with this, the progression of the soul, and what happened spiritually a couple of thousand years ago when things were democratized, and our responsibility. Okay, and God waits on us to fulfill ourselves. God is patient. His patience is called reincarnation. Okay. But if you really, really, really are focused into that which you are, once you've tasted, as it were, the nectar of spirit, what's been given to you through initiation, then all the drive into the world and everything starts fading and starts pulling back, and all you want to do is taste the nectar of God within. Okay? We know where the spiritual heavens are. Okay? They're within us. We know where the mansions are. My Father's house are many mansions. We know where they are. We know what they are. Okay? Every soul, okay, has that truth. It's not true for just some souls, but it's true for all souls. So we're equal at the beginning, our task is equal, and the end point is equal for all. Okay? See, and this planet brings in the dimension of time and space. Spiritually, they don't exist. Okay? But we go through time and space here. So, what better way to go through time and space than to go through it with God, with yourself, moving in that oneness of the Holy Spirit, of the sound of who you are? You know? I see so many of you trying to live your life and then do your spiritual work. And you never surrender your agendas. You're going to live your life. Okay, and you forget one thing. It's not your life. Okay. God created you. It's God's life. You're His expression. You know, and just to end by sharing an experience, I was in the country by water. I decided I would just go to the beach and it would just be nice to see the water, et cetera, et cetera. And I got there and there was this religious group hogging the entrance. They were by the hundreds and they were just singing their songs in some church language or something like that. And you couldn't get, you couldn't even hear the waves. It was really disruptive. Okay. And I was really annoyed. Okay. I just wanted to look at the water for a few minutes, hear the sound of the waves. And they were just singing their songs and they were in the way. And you couldn't even, it was hard to even get on the beach. They were blocking the entrance and they sure as hell didn't care, you know? And then, of course, Spirit told me to drop back inside to go to where I am Spirit. You see? To get away from the karma that was around, and for me to just go into Spirit. And I did that. And when I did that, guess what? Not only couldn't I care less that their karma was pressing all against me, but I got to see the truth of all of them, and that they were expressions of God. That each of these souls who were so annoying in their bodies, you know, as a group, they couldn't have been more annoying. And on top of that, just so you wouldn't hear the waves, they even had a couple of loudspeakers, you know, and they had guitars and they had tambourines, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So there was no hope, you know, of hearing the ocean at all right? And I just dropped back inside myself. I got to see that these were expressions, God's expressions here on this level. And it was such a lovely knowing. You know, I thank the Spirit for helping me remember. Yeah, we're all expressions here. And they were expressing themselves on this level and it was okay. And I lost whatever annoyance I had, you know, that I'd have to go back the next day to listen to the water. Etc. Why couldn't I listen to the water? And they were going to be there for hours, you know. And I lost all that annoyance. And I didn't care. It didn't bother me what they were up to and what they were doing. They were just expressions of God on this level. And this, whatever level they were demonstrating that on, was absolutely fine. Okay? And that's what we all need to do. We all need to come to the understanding that each of us is an expression of God, and how that soul expresses it is fine. Even as most souls will do in a state of forgetfulness that it is that soul. That's fine too. That's part of its learning. You don't have to jerk a soul awake. It won't work, folks, I guarantee you. Okay? But you see, this is the equality. We're all expressions. But let's not make the mistake of thinking we're expressions on the same vibratory frequency at that same frequency. Okay, some are vibrating at 5, some at 10, some at 20, whatever. Some souls are awake on some of the levels in the inner world, some aren't. Some have karma here, some have karma there, etc. Okay? And we all want to make it, you know, equal. It doesn't work that way. But as souls, we are equal. And as loving expressions, we're equal. And as God's opportunity to know itself as God, we're equal. And we're all equal in the blessings we do have. And we're all equal in the power and the spirit that we really are. And we're equal in our responsibility. We're equal in that we all have the right to vote. and we're equal in having to surrender to the simple truth of God's will. We're all equal, folks. Ain't no one messenger embodying that all by himself now. All of us have that. Okay, and we all have a part of and have access to and can receive God's grace. Okay, and it's that simple. And I'll stop with that.